pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Heavenly Father, let us extend our thoughts and union as we work to enrich the lives of our residents. Let our deliberations be free of rancor and filled with the concern of others rather than ourselves. Let us plan beyond the obvious that we might protect our neighbor from the unintended consequences of a shallow thought. Let us remember that we are the people's servant, not they ours. Let us proceed in peace. Amen.
Well, what? A little salad bowls. There's some like sauce. No, like not that.
Should I restart it because it's not
talking?
Yeah, I think
okay, so.
So
just give me a second.
Okay. All right. I think we can proceed.
Is that audio still recording?
Because we have the audio of it, portion of it. And then Jim Smiley is working on the, you know, trying to fix our video feed for the time being. So good morning, everyone, and welcome to the adjourned June meeting for the Kendall County Board for Tuesday, August 18th, 2020 at 9 a.m. May I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Sussage.
Present.
Ms. Flowers.
She will not be here today.
Mr. Gangler.
Here.
Mr. Giles.
Here.
Ms. Gilmore.
Here.
Mr. Greider.
Here.
Ms. Hendricks.
Here.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Here.
Ms. Vickers?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. With a quorum being present, I'd like to have a motion to approve the agenda, but can we move the census item L down to new business?
Mr. Chairman?
And then we need to remove items I
and J.
And J from the highway.
It wasn't ready yet.
Yeah. Are you making a motion, Mr.?
I'll make a motion to move census and remove I and J from consent.
Seconded. Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Kellogg to approve the agenda with items I and J being removed and item L being moved to new business. May I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you. Motion carries. Special recognition? Public comment? The record show there's no one. May I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Gangler, and this is, once again, less items I, J, and L. May I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Thank you. All ayes. Old business? New business? May I have a motion to approve the Kendall County Census Grant Award Round 2 in the amount of $18,000?
I'm moved.
Motion by Hendricks.
Second.
Seconded by Prochaska. Scott, will you talk about this?
Yeah, and Robin can talk about it as well. She's been working with Mira Johnson on this. We got a second award for more census money. The Census Commission has not met because of COVID-19, and then they experienced a quorum issue at their last attempt to meet. So they put together a budget that was similar to the last one, last time around that we did. We've had to make some adjustments, obviously because of in-person census things that we wanted to do. We weren't able to do kiosks, available laptops, and things of that nature, you know, public outreach in person. It just hasn't been possible. So we've done more pivots to yard signs. We're gonna try to do a radio ad. We've done some Facebook work. We've done some WSPY advertising. And also we're getting in some census masks and shirts so different people can see and we can get out and represent the census as best as possible to get people to understand that it's coming. You know, it's almost over. So that's the need for this, to make sure that the budget and everything is being approved.
Thanks. And Robin, do you have anything you want to tack on?
No, other than the last date for enumeration was supposed to be October 31st, and it was just suddenly and abruptly changed to September 30th. So it's even sooner than we anticipated. So we just need to get this final push out there. Excuse me.
Great. Mr. Giles?
Yeah, I wasn't sure where exactly to direct this, but, because I know, you know, you aren't running the census, Rob and Scott, but I had a little concern in our neighborhood. One was a concern, and one was just, I don't know if this is the right thing to do. So, census worker was coming through my neighborhood, and, you know, a 20-year-old, plus or minus a couple years, did have a mask on, but just wore it around his neck as he went door to door to door, and never pulled his mask up for people. So that was a little bit of concern for some, as he was in close proximity. And then so that was one minor thing. But then the other thing that is also the crux of the question is, well, one, they should be wearing their mask. And two, he was asking neighbors if they could fill out the information for, like, so say a neighbor had already filled out their census. They're saying, okay, your neighbor next door hasn't filled it out and they're not home. Can you fill out their information for them? Can they do that? Can you fill out your neighbor's census information for them?
Mr. Prochaska?
My understanding is that is standard operating procedure for the census. If you have not answered your door, they will seek to find out that information from your neighbors.
I can't hear.
My understanding.
Somebody's rustling paperwork and it's blocking Mr. Prochaska's microphone.
Yeah.
My understanding is that that is standard census policy. To go when you go door to door and the census takers go door to door, if you do not answer, they will try to get the information about your household from your neighbors or any other governmental sources.
Scott or Robin, have you had anything direct from the Census Bureau about that?
I have not. I have heard it happening that they were in another neighborhood, they weren't specifically asking who lived there. They had the name and they were verifying that that's who lived there. So I don't know if that's what they were happening in your neighborhood, Tony. So at least they knew who it was and they just wanted to make sure it was still that person.
Okay. Thank you.
We can probably send a question to the Census Commission or Census Bureau and get a more definitive answer on that for you.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
Sure.
And they should probably be wearing their masks when they're.
Yes, you know, I will definitely report that to the Chicago field office because they should be wearing their mask.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Thanks, everyone. There's a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Robin, before we move on, do you happen to have our number handy, or I hate to put you on the spot.
I was literally just pulling it up.
All right.
I'll give it to you in a second.
Yeah, okay. Elected official reports and other department reports. Sheriff. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
I saw yesterday that the 6 feet could also be considered a yoga mat away as well. So keep that in mind. I know you
forgot my yoga mat.
Yeah.
I just wanted to commend my detectives and also working with the coroner's office on an investigation up in Boulder Hill. It was quite lengthy. We appreciate the public's patience on coming to some resolution on that, although it's still a sad situation. The detectives put in a lot of hard work on that, and along with Jackie's office, and it was really good coordination. So I want to thank the coroner for all her assistance in that, and just thank the detectives for the hard work that they did. And other than that, I don't really have anything unless there's any questions.
Ms. Sessage.
I have a question, Sheriff. I know we talked about this last week, but I had some concerns while talking to residents about when our deputies stop someone for a traffic ticket violation, et cetera, and they had said that the deputies were not wearing masks. Can you kind of go over, at least so the public is aware of what your policy is for the deputies?
Yeah, sure. The deputies all have PPE issued to them, and normally, obviously, traffic stops are outside. And normally we can maintain that social distancing, especially for a short period of time. And our average traffic stop will last 10 minutes. That's in its entirety. Probably everybody in this room has been pulled over. I know I have. And normally they come up, the interaction's probably about 30 seconds to a minute long in the beginning, then they go back to the car, they'll do, you know, whatever it is that they do, check stuff, and then they'll come back up and they'll either issue the citation or the written warning. So the interaction is not that long in duration. It is outside. Again, normally, by the way you blade your body and usually the person's kind of talking off at an angle, the officer's back. Sometimes the officers will approach on the passenger side, mm-hmm. If there's not a passenger in the car, and they can do that. Some on the rural roads, some of the ditches, it's really not possible. Otherwise, you know, the officer could get injured. But they do that when possible. I also have talked with the municipal chiefs. Again, they're following the same practice. You know, we kind of, in the beginning, we were wearing the masks, and then as the governor and the Illinois Department of Public Health kind of lightened up those, then we left it up to their discretion. So to date, probably jinx myself, knock on wood, we've had only one outbreak. Or I wouldn't even call it an outbreak. We've had one person in the sheriff's office be diagnosed with COVID-19. That was a contractual worker in the jail. All the staff was tested that had the interaction with her. Fortunately, they all came back negative. Again, you know, if we were to identify that there was some specific outbreak or concern, then you know, we would make changes accordingly. We are following what the Illinois Department of Public Health and our Kendall County Health Department has recommended in our jail, because it's a confined housing area. So all the staff is wearing masks there. We have been, you know, since we've been told by the health department to do that. So if a deputy is asked on a stop, they've been instructed, if somebody says, hey, I'd appreciate if you put your mask on, no problem, they'll put their mask on. And we've only had one complaint from a citizen, and they didn't complain till after they received their citation. So then they complained, well, why aren't you wearing your mask? So, but there was no, on the approach, there was nobody saying, hey, you know, I appreciate if you put your mask on. We haven't had anything like that. But if someone asked, you know, the deputies have been instructed to do that. When they're going on the calls to the houses, most of the time, what they have been doing is, we did do it via phone in the beginning, and what we've been doing lately is the deputies will try and meet them outside. Fortunately, it's been a pretty nice summer where there hasn't been a lot of rain, but when there's been rain, it's been a lot at once. The deputies will take the reports outside where they can social distance. One of the other concerns that some of the deputies had raised with the ambient noise outside when you're on a traffic stop and then you have this over your face, sometimes it can be difficult in a tense situation in order to understand people clearly. So that was a concern of some of the deputies. But again, you know, we feel that we're following the rules by the Illinois Department of Public Health. Because it is outside, and we do feel that the social distancing and then the time period of how that interaction is. So I hope I try to answer that fully.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to, you know, bring that up. I know we talked about it last week, and I think people, you know, when the idea of police is to serve and protect. So when you think about the mask, you are, you know, talking about protection of the public and also for the deputies. So when they were asking me about it, I said, of course they wear their masks. So I was glad to at least, you know, confirm with you that that's what they're doing, so that I'm not, you know, putting out misinformation as well.
Sure.
So
yeah, that's no problem.
Okay.
I appreciate you giving me a call and us talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so. Thank you.
Have there been any public safety issues with those that have been pulled over wearing masks and being unable to identify you know, who they are?
No, we have not heard that, Bobby. I don't believe we've heard any of that. Most of the people we pull over, they're not wearing their mask from what we've been told.
Yeah,
a few people are.
Right, but
you know,
concerned when an officer walks up, if he walks up.
Yeah. If it comes, like normally in a traffic stop, if it's going to end up in an arrest, then obviously we're going to need to make sure that we remove the mask for the booking photo and stuff like that, so we can identify them in court, you know, if necessary. But once they see that person, they have the mask on in the beginning, eventually the mask will come off and then they can identify them, but they've been in contact with them the entire time. So they can say, yeah, when I first saw them, I did not see their full face, but they did not leave my sight, or, you know, I secured them in the squad car. They were still there when I came back, and then I was able to identify them in court. Because sometimes in court, the state's attorney, can you identify the offender? Yeah, it's that person right there. So, but that has not been an issue as of yet.
Thank you. Thanks, Sheriff.
Thank you.
County Clerk and Recorder.
Ms. My Joy. Revenue report is in the packet. A little update on voting. We have received 9,600 requests so far for vote by mail. We are entering them into the system and taking them and doing as much as we can up until the point where we can print ballots. We have to wait until September 3rd, which is the last day for someone to file to be an intent to be a write-in candidate. And ballots are supposed to go out beginning on the 24th of September, so that leaves very little time between September 3rd for us, in case we do have write-ins, to verify our ballot, to get the ballot all approved. So we will have a lot of work to do in a couple of weeks' time. I will be working on selecting vote-by-mail judges and getting a list of early voting judges together in the next 2 to 3 weeks. So if anybody knows anybody that would like to be an early voting judge, those are the judges that we are kind of looking to fill. We are having a little struggle with people wanting to do early voting. We should be okay with vote-by-mail judges. So if anybody knows of anybody that wants to do that, please contact me so I can try to get a hold of them when we are ready to begin that process. Early voting starts in Oswego and our other facilities in October, the middle of October. It starts here at the county office building on the September 24th. So we have a lot of work to do in a short amount of time. People only need to fill in one vote by mail application. That is creating more work for us when we have to look you up again. We are trying to do them as fast as we can. We get the duplicates, and that just takes time away from all the other things that we have to do. So just need to do one of those.
So you're getting duplicates? Sorry to interrupt you, but people
yes,
are doing it. Why would they do that?
People are doing it online. They're sending the one back that we sent out. There are other agencies, organizations that are sending them as well. They're sending those in. You really only need to do one. And if you do the online application, you receive a verification if you put your email address in that we've received it. So that is your receipt that we've received it. Trying to think of all the other questions we've gotten. You will still be, it's not mandatory that you do the mail-in. We still have voting at the polling places on election day. We still will have early voting.
So September 24th is the
is a big day.
Big day, yeah.
Okay. Yes, for sure. But that's all I can think of. If anybody has any questions.
Mr. Cobb.
I got to ask this question. What's the difference between the traditional absentee ballot and the mail-in ballot?
There's no difference. They just, when it was called absentee, you needed an excuse to receive it.
Okay.
Right now, you don't need an excuse. So that's why they changed it to be called vote by mail.
Okay.
Because you don't need an excuse.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Hendricks?
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yep.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. Can you talk about the process for someone to apply to be an early voting judge, please? And just wanted to reiterate where to expect the ballot drop box to be.
If someone could just send myself an email or Natalie Heisa an email with letting us know that you are interested in becoming an early voting judge and how to contact you, I will be sending something out, like I said, in a couple of weeks to try to get some sort of schedule put together for that. And the Dropbox is located at this building. We are utilizing the Dropbox that is out there at 111 West Fox Street.
Is there a sign?
Thank you.
Ms. Vickers.
My question was about the Dropbox as well. If, given the news about the post office, and I don't know if we're really having this loadout problems that some areas are there any thoughts about putting a Dropbox elsewhere in the county?
Well, I am in really good communications with the post office. The post office, I sent them an email with a copy of what our envelopes look like, the envelopes that will be going out to people with their ballot in, and what the envelope looks like with the ballot that's getting returned to us, so they know what to look for to process those. So we have been in good communications with the post office. I feel very confident that with the information that we've provided and the communication, that they are doing their best, and they will be doing their best to make sure that they get taken care of.
And one other question. If someone wants, can someone drop off their ballot at a polling place on election day?
No. They cannot.
Okay.
It has to be put in the mail by election day, postmarked on election day, or returned to the county office building. They cannot drop it off at the polling place. And that's
okay.
There's an attorney general opinion on that that we received several years ago that
okay.
does state that.
Do we
okay. That was a question I keep getting, and I had no idea, so thank you.
But they can drop it here.
They can drop it here. Mm-hmm.
If... Is there a date that if it's not delivered by, that is there a cutoff? You know,
it has to be postmarked on election day. We have to wait 2 weeks for everything to clear the mail.
Okay.
So we do have a 2-week waiting.
So if somebody has it, they wait till election day to mail it from mm-hmm. Guam or somewhere, you know, they're in the military and, you know, they shipped out and they mailed it there and it takes 3 weeks, they could be out of luck.
Well, military is a
different
separation.
Story. Bad example.
Yeah. But if they're in Hawaii on vacation and they mail it from Hawaii, we on election day, it's postmarked, we have to wait the 2 weeks. If we don't receive it within the 2 weeks, I mean, we have to wait 2 weeks.
Ms. Gilmer.
So, Debbie, what is the last day they can apply for a ballot by returning the application?
October 29th is the last day that we can receive it. I will have to double check that.
And
I'm pretty sure.
Is that the same case with the online application?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Because we have to have time to enter them and process them and mail them out. I mean, that's cutting it really close. Again, waiting on the post office to deliver them to you. I mean, when I mail anything personally, I plan for it to take 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're getting it to us on the 29th, the election day is the 3rd, so... Something to keep in mind. There are other, you know, we'll still have early voting
and so
during that time period.
We have,
get them, if you don't get them by that date, then they're invalid.
Right, we cannot take them. And a lot of this is set up by state statute, so it's not arbitrary numbers that we're choosing and dates that we're choosing.
Mm-hmm. And we have expanded early vote options now, too.
Right, if we get enough early voting judges.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we need to make sure we have enough judges, too, but ideally, yes.
Ideally, we were going to have Oswego, Montgomery,
Library.
Is there going to be the one in Plano this time as well? And then this building?
And then here, correct. Okay.
So the Plano, Yorkville, Oswego, and Montgomery will all have early voting if we have enough judges.
Right, and we have been required to have extended hours as well over the weekend and during the week.
Okay. And you'll be open on holidays?
Yes.
Saturdays?
Saturdays, Sundays, holidays.
So there's no excuse not to vote. There's plenty of options. All right, thanks, Debbie.
Sure.
Treasurer. One treasurer. Clerk of the court. No clerk of the court. State's attorney.
No report. If anybody has any questions, we're happy to answer them.
Thank you. Coroner, welcome. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Purcell.
So first off, I know Sheriff has left, but I would just like to echo what he said. There is a lot of work that went over the course of the last 6 weeks or so, and it was really good work between our office, the Sheriff's office, State's Attorney's office. We got a lot of things done, and we're not done with that, so we'll keep working. But for the month of July, we had a total of 37 deaths. You can see fiscal year to date, we're at 270 deaths. And last year, for the entire year, we had 311. So we're kind of on track to meet that same numbers probably about mid-September. And I would say we're, if the trend continues, we'll probably see close to 400 for this year. So it'll be quite an increase for the number of deaths this year. We had 5 autopsies during the month of July, included the 2 suicide, well, it didn't include those suicides, but and we also had, as far as unnatural deaths, 2 suicides, 1 accidental death, and then the 1 homicide death. Our intern that worked in our office, she finished up and went back to school. She wrote an 11-page paper. It's a really great paper. I was glad to see that she was able to get college credit for doing that. And she worked on a really neat in-office or interactive type of project that's hopefully going to be able to be finished and come together for our office. We had our Lights of Hope support group meeting, and then we had just over 35 hours of community service hours served in our office. So. Any questions
for the coroner? Thank you.
Thank you.
Health Department. Hi, Rand.
Good morning. I just have 2 things. First of all, just as we're continuing to monitoring COVID here, we're currently at 1,514 cases, 969 in recovery, and our deaths remain at 25. In talking with Scott last night, we talked about the county level risk metrics, and we know that right now our counties surrounding us are all in the orange. You can go onto IDPH's website. It shows the counties that are unstable, meaning they have higher counts, they might have higher test positivity rate, they might have more emergency room visits and or hospitalization admissions due to COVID-like symptoms. Those counties, Kane, Will, LaSalle, Grundy, and I think that is it. The only one that really borders us also, DeKalb, is still blue, but everyone else is orange. And we're still blue, so we're still doing okay. However, our warning level is a little bit high. We have 73 per 100,000, and so that kind of kicks us up into the warning level, whereas Kane is 105 per 100,000, Grundy is 82 per 100,000, Will 93, and LaSalle is 229 per 100,000. So quite a jump there in LaSalle. Wow. But just to keep you up to date, it's on the IDPH website. It changes every week. It goes Sunday to Saturday. These are dates. This goes back to ending August 8th, so it's a week behind, but these are kind of what we're looking at. This is what the state's looking at if we're going to have to roll back or do any kind of action there. This is really what they're looking at. And our positivity rate was at 6.8 2 weeks ago, then it was 5.7. It's currently 5.1, so we're doing a little bit better. But then again, this was a week ago. We had a little bit higher numbers last week, so we'll see what next week brings for us.
Right, and those surrounding counties, they're at like 8 and 9% on the positivity for the most part.
Well, Kane is at 5.4, but they're in the orange because of their per capita, their per 100,000, as well as they had 7 deaths. So that's going to put, yeah. You know, it's of the different indicators, you have to have 2 of those indicators that really are at the warning level in order to move you to orange. And so they have 2 in different categories. Will County's at 6.8, Grundy County's at 8.9 for their test positivity rate, and LaSalle is at 10. So, yeah, some numbers there. But so it's surrounding us, so it's still here, it's crossing over into our borders. We know that. So, again, the masking is what's going to help to keep us. And speaking of that, the second thing I wanted to talk about was just that new JCAR rule that came out almost a week ago. I've been working with Eric in his office, and it's really not a big deal. All it does is give us a little bit of enforcement behind wearing masks. We really don't see it as anything more than another public health violation that we are going to kind of monitor. When we get complaints in, we'll go out, we're going to do the same thing we've always done, is really educate before we do any enforcement. Our education always exceeds enforcement, so we're not super worried about it. We just want to make sure that, you know, businesses, facilities, organizations, schools, everybody is wearing their mask whenever on premises, having all their patrons wear masks, their employees wear masks, and just move forward with that. The state's attorney's office will be contacted once we have enough evidence to move forward, and then we just really hand that off to State's Attorney's Office for any kind of enforcement issues there. But we're just going to monitor it and work with the community on the importance of mask wearing. And so, again, it's all about just the education. Education will always precede our enforcement.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah, Jim.
Jim, we're good.
Yeah. We don't need you to. Thank you.
Any questions?
Jim needs an assistant, by the way.
Ms. Hendricks.
I was just wondering if you could just briefly speak to this, because I'm still seeing this. It's so frustrating. It would be great if we could stay the island of blue, and if the orange surrounding us could go back to blue too, but could you talk about the importance of properly wearing your mask and what that is, what that means?
Yeah, so when, you know, we all know it's not the most comfortable thing to do and to wear constantly, especially in the heat, especially for long hours. Wearing it underneath your nose is not helpful. They're now coming out, CDC is saying that the gaiters that are worn around the neck, because of the material they generally are wearing, aren't necessarily the proper coverage. And so they're not allowing those in schools or for athletes or anything anymore. So it is, you know, it's about the material. It's about, you know, wearing them properly, keeping them up over your nose and through your mouth. Yeah.
Ms.
Thank you.
Yesterday at Health and Environment Committee, we talked a lot about COVID, but you spoke about how long a person is still, you know, after they do get the testing and it comes back negative, but they still may be contagious. Could you
as long as you're shedding the virus, you're going to be contagious. The thing is, the tricky part with this virus is that you're still testing positive up to 6 weeks after. So when employers are asking for a negative test to return to work, the test is not always the best way to acknowledge if somebody's ready to come back to work and it's safe for them to come back to work. We're really stressing the importance of symptom-free for 24 hours without any medication, and going off of that versus the test, because we are finding that the COVID is still testing positive up to 6 weeks in somebody's system. So that's going to kind of throw it off a little bit.
Mr. Gangler?
My question is more for Leslie on this one. I know Annie's taking control over this, but have you guys discussed or are you aware of the protocol that you're going to take once, let's say, a report gets turned over to you? To your office?
Yeah, we've worked on that hand in hand with the health department and also the sheriff's office, and we're going to treat it just like we would any other type of health code violation, and it would go through the same process. So it's not going to be treated any differently than it would any other type of violation that we've had in the past.
All right, thank
okay.
you.
Thank you.
Supervisor of Assessments, Andy.
Good morning.
Morning.
So I've received 7 of our 9 township books in, and I've got 7 of them balanced. We should have the other couple done by the end of the week, I'm guessing. Right now, without Oswego or Little Rock townships, we have almost $30.9 million in new construction. So I would imagine that number will go up substantially once they get those two in. Because I know there's a lot of building going on in Oswego and in Little Rock right now.
How does that compare to the last couple years?
It's on pace. It should be a little bit more, I think, this year than what it was last year, because we've had some other bigger projects. We've had the new Holiday Inn has come on. There's been some other new restaurants built over there as well. I know there's a lot of new houses going up, so they're trying to fill up these empty lots before they start bringing any other subdivisions on. So it's moving along, and I'm pretty much on pace to publish when I normally would, either a second or third Thursday in September, so as things are going right now. So it's all good.
Any questions for Andy? All right, thanks, Andy.
All right, thanks.
Appreciate. That was easy, right?
Absolutely. Nice and short, you can move on.
Thanks, Rand. Our city committee reports. Facilities, Mr. Kellogg.
Make a motion to approve a contingency budget not to exceed $50,000 for remodeling of Kendall County 111 West Fox Street campus.
Second.
Motion by Kellogg, second by Prochaska.
And this came back, we discussed it at the last full board meeting and back to wording in the next part of it.
Thank you. Roll call.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Essich?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion to approve a change orders for the remodeling of Kendall County 111 West Fox Street campus in an amount not to exceed $5,000 to be made by consensus of facility chairman, county administrator, facilities management director, and technology services director, and for change orders in an amount not to exceed $29,000 made by a majority vote of the facilities committee.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Hendricks.
Yep. And again, as mentioned at the last meeting, this is to keep the project moving forward. The language actually came from a previous large-scale project, and anything over $29,000 would have to go out to bid, so that's why the number 29 is in there. And that's it.
Mr. Koppel?
Yeah, it was very successful with the project in the sheriff's office and the jail for security upgrades, that we were able to do smaller change orders between myself, the sheriff, and Jim Smiley. So we tried to adapt that for this project so we can keep the project moving. And we will, of course, inform Facilities Committee of any change orders that are signed. But we want to be able to make sure if it's a small door change, something needs to be moved, some wiring we forgot, that we can just keep the project going. So that's the goal here.
Roll call.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Essich?
Yes.
Sorry. Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
All ayes. Motion carries. Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Kellogg.
Thank you.
Admin HR, since Elizabeth is not here, Mr. Prochaska?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion for an approval of an ordinance of the County of Kendall authorizing the execution of an intergovernmental agreement between the county and the town of Normal in McLean County, Illinois, Normal, authorizing Normal to exercise the powers of the County of Kendall in connection with the MCC program and the loan finance program.
Motion by Prochaska.
Second.
Seconded by Sessich. Mr. Keppel, do you want to?
Yeah, this was discussed at the HR and Admin Committee a little bit over a month ago. We've had Illinois Assist in Kendall County for quite a long time. You're probably familiar with it, like your first-time homebuyer tax credit that you hear out there, the banks are able to take advantage of to help buyers. There's also an advantage in the Assist program that allows for people with good credit that can't come up with the necessary capital, maybe for a down payment, that they can also take advantage of this program. So it's been in existence for a long time. The way that it works is you need to partner with a home rule community. The town of Normal is who's partnering with other communities right now in order to make this happen. Both the ordinance and then the following item, the intergovernmental agreement, has been reviewed by the state's attorney's office, by Jim Webb, and all of the changes we requested have been accepted by the town of Normal. So I feel pretty comfortable. This is a good program. It helps people buy houses in the county, and it's been successful in the past, and I think it'll continue to be successful in the future.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Essich?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes. All ayes, motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion for the approval of an intergovernmental cooperation agreement between the Town of Normal, McLean County, Illinois, and the County of Kendall, Illinois, for the approval of the MC program and loan finance program.
Second.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Sessich. Mr. Keppel, anything to add?
Nothing to add.
Roll call.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessich?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
All ayes, motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion for an approval of an ordinance amending Article 3 of the Kendall County Board of Rules of Order pertaining to regular and special board meetings.
Second.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Sesich. Mr. Kellogg?
I have a question on letter F. It describes the trigger of to when these could go in effect. And it talks about the emergency management declaration of emergency. Do those typically have an end date, or how does that work? I know I've always heard the, you know, the date the emergency starts, but who decides the end date, and is that published, or how is that sent out to the public?
I'll let Scott and Matt, you know, expand for me, but the IEMA statute gives the governor 30 days unless extended by the General Assembly, and then the Kendall or the county version gives the chairman 7 days unless extended by the board. Scott or Matt?
I would say there that it is 30 days for the governor. What the governor's been doing is back to back to back, he's been declaring emergencies back to back to back instead of having the General Assembly extend them. And that has been challenged in the courts, and that is not somewhere where I'm an expert. I just know that that's been in the news, that the ability to do that has been challenged in the courts, and I believe up until now it's been upheld, but that's how it's been okay to do it that way, to just keep declaring emergencies. So there is end in sight on those every time one's declared by an executive order of the governor.
Leslie, have you reviewed that, or is it the state's attorney's office?
We have not been asked to review the board rules of order. Is that what you're talking
about?
No,
just
the emergency
declaration.
Yeah,
I saw you nod
your
head, that's why.
Yeah, no, everything that you guys have said is accurate based on what the statute says.
Thank you. Ms. Gillen.
So just to be clear, the areas in yellow here are the changes to the board rules of order?
That's correct.
Okay.
Mr. Kellogg.
Yeah, I agree with all of them except for number two, the hybrid meeting. That discusses that the building's open to the public and employees are present, that we could still have a hybrid meeting. And I know I'm in the minority, but I don't believe that we should have the building open to public, have employees in the building, and us be the only ones that have the option of not coming in. So I just disagree with that, and I'll vote no.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
No.
Thank you. Motion carries 8-1. And before I move on to other items, Fran, did you have anything you wanted to add? We don't have highway specifically on here today. I just wanted to make sure.
I do.
Okay. Fran Kloss, the county engineer.
It's open.
There's cookies waiting for you. It's open.
Great news. All right. Special committee reports.
It's open. Stop
there
calling.
Are other business. There is none. Chairman's report. September 1st will be the last meeting in this room prior to the Fox Street renovations. And Mr. Kellogg?
Oh, we have a facilities meeting that I was staying in this room with them.
So it's not the last.
Oh, fine.
So, technically.
So, yes, technically.
Facilities, we're going to have sledgehammers and we're going to end our meeting.
Hard hats and.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yeah, and so if you, like I mentioned before, if you have things in the room or in the file cabinets or everything, help us by cleaning them out yourself instead of Jim having to pay someone to box up your
does Jim have boxes for us, maybe?
Can we
that?
Can ask.
He's
we'll
on the phone.
We'll get your boxes.
You'll get us a box.
It's called the recycle bin.
Yeah.
For those of you on the phone, that's what Mr. Kellogg said. Thank you very much. And I could have a motion to approve Stephanie Funkhauser to the 708 Mental Health Board expiring September of 2022.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Gangler. Roll call, please.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
All ayes, motion carries. Thank you. Public comment? Questions from the press?
No questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. See, Katie, I don't see it. Or no hand raising.
No.
Executive session, there is a need for the purpose of.
Number two, collective negotiating matters between the public body and its employees or their representatives, or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees. And also number 11, litigation when in action against, affecting, or on behalf of the particular public body's been filed and is pending for a court or administrative tribunal.
Have a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Motion by Sesich.
Second.
Second by Gangler. Roll call, please.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
All eyes, thank you.
There's a executive session Teams meeting set up that I emailed out to everybody.
Session, may I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion by Prochaska, second by Gangler. Roll call.
Mr. Giles?
Good. See you back, Scott.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Mr. Gangler?
Yes.
All eyes, we are adjourned. Thank you.